Father, we also ask for forgiveness, for we know that we sin, and sometimes unintentionally, sometimes knowing what we're doing, we still do it. And so we ask you to forgive us, for you say that if we confess our sins, you are faithful. You will not only forgive us, but cleanse us from the sting of sin. So we ask you to forgive us for these things, and these are the people that we are forgiven who may have sinned against us. Finally, Father, we ask that you will not allow us to be led, put in the way of temptation, but that you will deliver us from all evil. We ask for all these things in the name of Jesus with great confidence, because yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray for the reading of God's holy word. Father, your word is alive. It's not just any book. There is power in it. There's revelation in it. There's healing. I remember one of your psalms says that people were hurting and they were sick and they were in need of help, and you sent your word and they healed. There's just a mystery around this book that we read. We know you've anointed it, and we know that through it you express to us your love as well. It is a love letter as well as a source of power. So we pray for your blessing on it as we read it today, and we pray for hearts that are open. Each one of us may be open to hear what you have to say, and may we put it into practice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The scripture this morning comes to us from Genesis chapter 6. Verse 5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every indication of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, who I created, from the face of the earth. Men and animals and creatures that move along the ground, birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japhet. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and full of violence. And God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both of them and the earth. So make an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it, and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark, and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has breath in it. Everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and stored away as food for you and for them. And Noah did everything just as God commanded him. This is God's message to you.
Thanks be to God. So it looks like God is going to have me in Genesis for a while. Not my choice, but I have to obey. I don't think I've ever preached from Genesis this much. We'll see what he continues to instruct me to do. So in this passage, we see God has had it with sin. He says, enough is enough. And he gets ready to act. Verse 7, so the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race, everybody. Everybody I've created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. He had to have been so sad to say that. His plan, he's God, he knows he has a lot of power and options. Nonetheless, he was sad for him to say that. And in verse 13, God said to Noah, I am going to put an end. He communicates with him. I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth, except for Noah and his family, and two of every kind of animal. That's what we read in the passage, right? And God gave Noah specific instructions how to build the ark to fit everyone that was going to be spared from the flood. And Noah obeyed. Remember that. Verses 15 through 16 describe the detailed instructions God gave, and Susan read it, God gave to Noah on how to build the ark. But it was Noah and his faith that stood out to God. It was Noah and his faith that saved him, right? Because God said, I saw your righteousness, the righteousness of Noah. But let me ask you something. I want you to come into the sermon prep that I did. Let me ask you something. Was Noah's faith enough to save him? Yes or no? Oh, I see some yes, some no. Let me ask it again. Was Noah's faith enough to be saved? Yes or no? I see more yeses now. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. He still had to obey. He had to build the ark, right? So it was, what if he would have said, okay, God is going to save me. I don't want to build the ark. If he's going to save me, he's going to figure it out. He's going to come up with a plan. I don't have time. I have to take care of my children, my grandchildren, whatever. You know, the people. He had duties, people. What if he would have said, I'm not obeying? He had to build the ark and follow God's instructions in order to be saved from the flood. Yes, his faith is what made him stand out to God, but he still had to obey. God was going to rescue him and his family, but he still needed to obey. He needed to follow God's instructions. That's kind of a thing that people think about. Yes, we're saved by faith. So hang on with me. Verse 22 says, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Isn't this the same concept that I'm talking about in the book of James, New Testament? In James 2:14 through 24? Listen to it. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds, doesn't put it into practice? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing, there's the does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. So the faith that Noah had was shown in the ark that he built. The faith that we have is shown in the obedience, in the obedient ways that we live. If we say, I have faith, I love God, and we live as we please, do you think that's real faith? No. You believe, James goes on, that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that. That's what James says. Even the demons believe that, so they believe and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous also for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? So here is faith and action going together again. You see the passage goes on to say, you see that his faith and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So, believed God. But he still was called to sacrifice Isaac by faith. And he was called God's friend. How many of you consider God his friend? I think the most important thing, how many of you does God consider friends? You see that a person, he says, is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. Not by faith alone. You see, Noah had a great faith. But he also obeyed God and he followed him. We can't just say, I believe God. James says even the demons believe he's real. And they shudder. The difference is that we believe and obey. We believe and follow God. Noah had a great faith, but he also obeyed God and followed him. Verses 8 and 9, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. You see that? He didn't just believe. He walked the talk. That's the difference. But I wonder if you notice something else that I want to point out. Let me read it to you again, because I'm almost sure you didn't catch it. Because it took me years to catch it after reading it over and over and over. We're talking about the flood and the fact that God saved Noah because of his righteousness. So let me read the verse again to you. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a righteous man. Noah walked faithfully with God. Did you notice it doesn't say Noah and his wife, his children and their spouses found favor in the eyes of the Lord? Did you notice that? It doesn't say Noah and his wife, his children, and their spouses were righteous. And it doesn't say Noah, his wife, and his children, and their spouses walked faithfully with God. It doesn't say that. And if that were so, it would say it. What is it that I'm trying to say? Just hang in there. I want you to notice that in spite of that, that they're not mentioned in the same way or talked about in the same way that Noah is, at the time of the flood, they all got in the ark and their lives were spared. Noah, his wife, his children, and their spouses. Why? Why is it that they all got saved along with Noah? Because Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and Noah walked faithfully with God. So what is it that I'm trying to say? That because of Noah's faithfulness, because of Noah's obedience, because of his love for God, his wife and his children were also brought into the ark. It wasn't their righteousness, their obedience. It was because God loved Noah so much that he brought his children and his spouse into the ark. But it was not because of them. It was because of Noah's righteousness with God. The same concept is found all throughout the Bible. This is not the only passage. In Genesis 12:3, God tells this to Abraham. All peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. All peoples of the earth will be blessed through you, through one man. And in Psalm 103:17-18, we read this. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. Pay attention. The Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children and their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. So those who fear him, those who walk with God, those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts are passing on a blessing to their children that they do not deserve, may not deserve. Because of their righteousness, because of their walking with God, God will bless them. I want you to study this concept. So hear me out. The best thing you can do for your children and grandchildren is to walk faithfully with your God. They will get those blessings. Because of you, they will be blessed. If you obey him and honor him, your children will be blessed. Your faithfulness to God results in blessings to your children, even if it doesn't show it right away. I'm not saying that we can earn salvation for our children. What I'm saying is that God will bless our children because of our faithfulness and our obedience, and God will pursue them, and God will hunt them down with his love and his mercy and his faithfulness and his blessings untold that they do not deserve. He will do it because of you, because of your faithfulness, because of your prayers, because of your obedience, because you walk faithfully with God. God will bless your children. So yes, the best thing you can do for your children is to follow God closely, to be faithful to him, to honor him. Noah had great faith, but he also obeyed God. Faith and works go together. We can't just say, I love God, but I will do as I please. I trust God, but I will rely on my own wisdom and understanding. We can't just say, I will have faith and do nothing either. We have to have the faith and put it into practice and ask God to bless our efforts, whatever they may be. There are times I know that I need to pray and get close to God. I know the power of reading the Word of God. And usually the Word of God comes alive to me when I read it, and it's powerful. But there are times when it doesn't. It's dry and stale. And for whatever reason, if it's attacks of the enemy, or I've had a long day, or I'm tired, but I still try to obey and read it, put it into practice. Why? Because my faith without works is dead. And so, we lead an example. And imagine that. Imagine this verse from Psalm 103. I have prayed it for years for my children, the one I read to you. And I say, Lord, you say in your word, and I believe it, that from everlasting to everlasting, your love is with me, but also with my children. That from everlasting to everlasting, your faithfulness is with me, but also with my children. That from everlasting to everlasting, your revelation, your guidance, and even your discipline, Lord, is with me, but also with my children. And so I include them, and I know that God includes them too. Eventually, his work will be perfected, I believe with all my heart, in them as well. Because God is faithful. God is faithful. So Noah's faith was not enough to be saved. He needed to put his faith into practice. He needed to obey and follow God's instructions. And yet it was because of that rich, abundant faith that was seen in his works that his wife, his children, and their spouses were saved and came into the ark. And everything else was destroyed, and God began again. And here we are. How are we going to respond to the challenge of being the best parents that we can be? Not only for the sake of ourselves and for the sake of God, the best children that we can be, children of God, but do it because our children will get the blessing from it. And are we going to pay heed to the call to put our faith to work? Let us pray. Oh Father, we thank you for instructing us in the way we should go. We thank you for revealing to us so many deep and rich truths that are transforming us day by day and are allowing us to go from victory to victory. We thank you for the promises that it is as we continually seek you, you bless our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. For you say in your word clearly that from everlasting to everlasting your love is with those who fear you and your righteousness with their children and their children's children. We pray for the grace then to continue to be that pillar, that funnel through which you pour blessings upon our children, upon our loved ones. And we pray for the strength and the grace and the desire to obey you. Father, we praise you today for what we have learned, and we pray for the grace to put it into practice. All this we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.